chapter here, right quick. And this is in 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 12. And then we'll let you be seated. Verse 25. 1 Kings 12 and 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem and Mount Ephraim and dwelt there, and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people be turned again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Therefore, the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." You can be seated. Some of you might wonder why I've got this briefcase. I'm going to do exactly what the Lord told me to do. Most of us are high-tech preachers. Tell me I didn't bring no revival in my suitcase. I got mine right here. This is commonly called a computer. It's a 486 DX color, 280 megabytes. So I got it all. I can flip it on and have a message. I can plug it in right there to the phone and get yours. Or anybody else's is hooked up. I can call it up and call to remembrance, all of it, just by the flip of one button called hibernation. Go right back to the point I left off. And I'm right there. I can even do it driving down the highway. And about the time I'm watching the road and keying in my F keys to bring it up, the phone rings, and my office is telling me I forgot to preach a funeral. And I'm running so late, I don't have time to go by the house, so I just start shaving. You know, and about the time you see different color lights, you really don't know what to do with them. And you're fighting this element, and you hear something else. And you realize, hey, that's one of those 911 numbers, means that you got to call right now. So you dial in, turn off, plug something else in, and then you get this call, and all of a sudden you say, "Could you speak a little louder? I want to get all you're saying." Because what you say could or will be used against you. This has saved my hide several times. We deal in a high-tech society. And I know this might be a little humorous to introduce the message I'm going to preach this morning, but I want to read one more scripture in 2 Kings 23:35. "And he said unto me, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him rose there any like him. I read first to you in 1 Kings where Rehoboam and Jeroboam was having some severe problems. Rehoboam was afraid of Jeroboam, and Jeroboam was afraid of Rehoboam. Of all of these things, Jeroboam was king over Israel. Rehoboam was the king over Judah. Jeroboam was he the son of Solomon? Or was it Rehoboam? Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, caused some things to happen. Jeroboam, a wicked, wicked man who was ruling, he said, "Man, if I don't do something quick, I'm going to lose everything I got. So they're going to kill me." And he said, "They got church down there, and I got church over here. And he's a king, and I'm a king. And they got their program, and I got my program. But if I don't have a better program than them, I'm going to lose." So all of a sudden, there was a little problem that arose, and it was called competitive worship. Competitive worship. If my worship... I had a young man come to me. He wanted to come be my music director. He might be sitting here. I don't know. But I said, "Well, I'll talk with you." I sat down and talked with him, and I said, "What kind of money are you talking about?" When he told me, I almost swallowed my tongue because it was a lot more than I was getting. And I thought that was bad, but he says, "And I'll have to have 25% of the tithes." I said, "Okay. What would you attribute to wanting all of this much?" He said, "With my ability, I will swing a lot of people into this church." And he said, "And the church is going to really grow because they're going to come to my leadership." Oh, he's out there. He's singing your churches. We're talking about competitive worship. And so he said, I will be an asset to this church. Matter of fact, I will probably swing more power than anybody else who comes to the pulpit. And I will be a drawing card. So therefore, you will be blessed to have me." Needless to say, he's not there. And then I wondered about Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Why all this competitiveness? One had, Jeroboam, he was over Israel, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord said, "I'm going to take it away from him." And so Rehoboam, he looked around. No, let me get this straight. I'm a little bit nervous. It was Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam, because of his sin, being the son of Solomon, said, "I'm going to rend this away and I'm going to give it to Jeroboam." Jeroboam took the 10 tribes and left one. The prophet tore his brand new coat in 12 pieces and said, "Just take 10 of them. It don't matter which one you take. Whichever you take, 10 of those tribes are going to follow you." And so this is the thing that started happening. He says, "Hey, now I've got to do something, because he's going to have a revival down there, and all the people's going to come back and they'll kill me." So he said, I've got to do something that's out of the ordinary." I went back and I started checking up on this boy and see really where he went wrong. And I found in Chronicles, and you don't have to turn there, but you listen to the words of this chapter in 2 Chronicles 13 and 7 concerning Rehoboam. Now, "And there were gathered unto him vile men, the children of Belial,
who strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. When Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand himself, I wondered why all of this thing happened. And when I found this scripture, I looked at this and I said, God, the sons of Belial, and if you don't know who they are, I'll tell you. They were a bunch of perverts that hated women and loved men. And the Bible says that while Solomon was busy with his loving women and loving gain, there were homosexuals living inside his palace who seduced his son. The Bible says while he was young and tender-hearted, they came to him. While he could not withstand them. Since being here, I got a horrifying phone call. My daughter, she said, Daddy, you've told me for several years that something was wrong with Troy. Told me I better watch him. And you've warned me repeatedly that something was wrong and keep your eye on him because the child is a disturbed child. He's probably at a psychiatrist right now. Because 4 years ago, he told his mama yesterday that someone, while he's young and tender, my first reaction was to get on the plane and go drag him out. I withstood this spirit 3 years ago, but I was a year too late. It cost me $200,000 a year income, but that ain't nothing when it comes to my grandson. And if they thought I was rough before, wait till I get home. Solomon wound up with a boy who was a pervert. Because the sons of Belial got to him while he was young and tender and could not withstand himself. The title of my message today is, I Love My Daddy, But I Hate His Message. I love my daddy, but I hate his message. When Rehoboam come to the throne, the first thing that he done, because his life had been messed up since he was probably 4 years old, while his daddy was whoring around, Rehoboam was being molested by the sons of Belial. And it all started because of competitive worship. I went to the General Conference in New Orleans 30 years ago. I was a young man. I too started young, Brother Keys. Preached my first message when I was 9 in the chicken house. Two of the people who were in that service that day are here today. That was 41 years ago. I took my text from John and all I had was a New Testament. I said, I can't find the scripture I'm looking for, so I'll just quote it. After I preached, we come down off the roost. And we dance before the Lord. Is that right? My two brothers are here. They heard me preach my first sermon. And they may hear me preach my last one today. But the sons of Belial are among us. I went to this general conference in New Orleans, and I was just barely out of my teens. I was looking for revivals. And I had a man walked up to me and said, "Brother Bourne, you an evangelist?" I said, "Yes." He said, I would like for you to come preach for me." The man, I was excited. He said, "Why don't you come and let's go set up in the balcony," or not in the balcony, but up in, if you remember that old convention center in New Orleans, how many was there? I see one, or do I see any hands? One. Two, three. Anyway, this man says, let's go up here and sit. And so instead of just going in and sit down, he took me all the way up to the very top, way in the back. And I said, "Why we got to go back here to talk?" And when we sat down, I sat down beside him, and he started talking. And a few minutes, his hand reached over and got a hold of my leg. And I said, "Ooh." And I started scooting over to the other side of the seat, and I said, "God, have mercy. What have I got myself into?" And I moved my leg over, and I started to stand up. He said, "Sit down. Relax. Let me tell you, that fellow's now district superintendent of one of our districts." I got up and I ran. And I got to where my father-in-law was. He said, "Son, have you got any revivals?" I said, "I thought I had one." He said, "Who was it?" And I told him, he says, "Don't ever go there. It's a trap of the devil." I said, "Well, don't you ever worry, Brother Travis. I won't ever go to that place." I know what I'm saying can and will be used against me. But God spoke to me in a room in the last several weeks, and He told me to say this. And this is what the Lord says: "I have anointed you not to speak with swelling words, but to speak, thus saith the Lord. And be not afraid to speak what I have given you." I was preaching in a church in the last century, and this pastor set me down. He said, "Brother Bourne," he said, "you've been here a good bit. Says, could you tell me what you honestly think of my church?" I said, "Do you really want to know?" He said, "Well, I would not have asked you if I didn't want you to tell me." I said, "All right, I'll tell you." I said, "You have four homosexuals sitting on your platform." He said, "You're wrong." I said, "No, I'm not wrong." I said, "They're leading in your worship." And I says, "Look me in the eye and tell me you've never dealt with them." I said, "Come on, look me straight in the eye and tell me you've never had to deal with them." And he looked at me and he says, "Well, they're straight now." I said, "Baloney. They're straight." He said, "But Brother Bourne, you don't understand. They are good at what they do." And I looked at him and I said, "Good is not good enough." I said, "Good is not good enough when they're going to molest your sons and the saints' sons. Good is not good enough when they're going to take us down that road of Belial. Good is not good enough when they're placed there by the devil himself. And oh yes, they can do it." The Bible says concerning this situation that this man went in to offer sacrifice, and he was in there, and all of a sudden a little preacher come walking in, and the Bible says he lifted his finger and said, "Thus saith the Lord." And the Bible says he prophesied against their altar and their worship. And when he did, the Bible says that this man reached out to latch hold of him. And when he did, his arm withered up. Hallelujah. And the man of God says, "Thus saith the Lord." He said, "Your bones shall be strewn across this altar, and the dust of them when it is burned." And this man, the king, he looked at him, he says, "O man of God, pray that my arm would be restored." He said, "Your arm will be restored." But he said, "As a sign as what I have said shall come to pass, the altar in which you are offering sacrifice will split down the middle, and the ashes will fall both ways." And the Bible says, and he reached out and said, "God, heal his arm." And the Bible says he restored back the arm of this king. And when he did, the altar split down the middle, and one fell one way, one half of it fell the other way. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today, somebody's got to stand up against this evil hour. I don't care how good they can sing. I don't care how good they can play. I don't care how much you think it's an asset to you. We're so busy. We're so busy taking care of things and running to hospitals that we find ourselves entering into the house of the Lord unprepared, and we get somebody else in there who can quote unquote carry the mail. And so they are in there and they crank it up. And when you walk in, they are in a frenzy. Thought you was going to preach on miracles. Someone said, "That's all I preached on." I'm going to show you I can preach on something else today. But I'm going to tell you what, God will perform a miracle when we get this junk out of the way. I wondered why Rehoboam went this way, and I have searched. I've been searching for weeks and looking at this and searching through it and sitting there and praying, and God revealed to me. It was only while I was sitting right there a moment ago that the Lord said, "Turn to a certain scripture," and I flipped over. And when I did, to my amazement, when I looked at this scripture, it says that while he was yet young and tender, and could not withstand them, the sons of Belial come in and took advantage of Rehoboam. And so when he turned that way, the only thing to do when he got in charge was to bring his buddies in. And this prophet, he looked at this altar and he says, "I tell you what, boy, I'm going to tell you something else." He said, "There's going to be a boy born one day, just a child. His name's going to be Joash." He said, "He's going to clean this house." He said, "When he gets here, he's going to clean up." He said, "I'm just sent to give you a message." And when he got through, Rehoboam says, "Why don't you go to my house?" He said, "The Lord said for me not to go to anybody's house, not to eat any bread or drink any water, but to return another way." And the Bible says, and he went out, and he was gone. And some of those priests, the Bible says, that he had made priest of those who were... Let me read it. If I can find it here, I got it written down somewhere. And he made priest of the basest sort. He found the most vile men he could find, and the Bible says, and he made priest out of them. And here these fellows were officiating when the man of God come in and testified against the altar. And when he went out another way, one of these boys run home and says, "Daddy," he had an old man at home, and you pardon the reference, old man. He said, There was a man of God came by, and he spoke against theology. You see, they loved their daddy, but they hated his message. And so the old man wasn't even officiating in the priesthood. He was having to be at home while his queer boys was operating the church. I know you riding me out of town on this one, and it'll be all right. I'm almost the elder here today. There ain't many older than me. Dear God. And so they run home and says, Daddy, he says, get me an animal ready. He says, I got to go overtake him. He said, if he's a man of God like that, he said, I got to go meet him. And so he jumped on his little jack, and down the road he went. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and he caught up with a man of God sitting under a tree resting. And he stopped and he looked at him, and that old man of God, even though he didn't agree with what his boy has done, a lying spirit come on him. And he gets to this point. You know, someone said yesterday that people are always looking for angels. Well, I believe God still got angels, but they didn't just start that, because this old man of God said, an angel appeared to me and said, for you to come back and eat at my house. He said, the Lord said for me not to go to anybody's house. He said, but an angel. Whew, if an angel said it, let's go. So he went to the house of a man who allowed his homosexual boys to officiate in the office of the priesthood. And while they were eating bread, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he says, because you have not obeyed to do what the Lord has told you to fully command the people, he says, a lion shall meet you in the way, and said he'll destroy you, and says you won't never go back to your homeland, but you'll be buried in my sepulcher. The Bible says, and he arose and went out, and a lion met him and slew him, and the old man of God was following along behind, and he picked up his carcass and went and put him in his own grave. And then the old man told his boys, he said, son, when I die, I want you to bury me by the bones of this prophet. He said, lay me down beside him. Don't bury me over there with these false prophets. Don't put me over there with these fellows that's operating in the priesthood now. He said, bury me. Lay my bones side by side with this prophet who come along, who had enough guts to stand up and prophesy against this competitive worship. Come on. Hallelujah. And then the story goes like this. And he starts talking about all of these kings. And man, I can't even begin to touch my notes today, so I'll just go to the last page. I'm already out of time and hadn't even started, but Abijah, the son of Rehoboam, come to the throne. And then his son Asa followed him. Then come in Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahasuerus and Athaliah and Joash and Amaziah and Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah and Manasseh and Amon. And then Josiah. And of these 14 kings, which covered a span of 332 years, the Bible says concerning each one of them. I've got it right here, and I wished I had time to go into all of it. But it says, and let me just quote, it says, and Rehoboam died and was buried with his fathers. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not remove the sin of Jeroboam. And then it was said of his son, when he died, and his son was Abijah, the Bible says that he did evil in the sight of the Lord and allowed the sin of Jeroboam. And then it was said of his son Asa,
who, the Bible says, and he did good in the sight of the Lord and did that which was right all the days of his life, and God reckoned it to him to be good. However, he destroyed not the sin of Jeroboam. And then of his son, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, this has done good in the sight of the Lord and destroyed idolatry and brought a reformation to the house of Israel, to the house of Judah. However, he destroyed not the sin of Jeroboam. And then of his son, it says, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. However, he destroyed not the sin of Jeroboam. 332 years, 13 kings, all the way down through. It says they did good, they did evil, they did better, they did worse. They did worse than their fathers before him. They did better than their father until he got all the way down to this young boy who was born. He was 8 years old. He come to the throne. He was playing in the church of the Lord. He had been hit out there. One day he was running in church and scooting down across the altar, and he fell over behind the altar, and he found a roll. He come out with that roll, and someone says, "What you got there, son of a boy?" You know, he was hid in the house of the Lord. And they said, I found this roll back here behind the altar. You know, they hadn't had church in 6 years now. The Bible says the doors had been closed. They weren't even having church. There. They were having it down at Dan. Bethel. And they were competing against Israel over here with the descendants of Jeroboam. But the sin of Jeroboam was over here with the descendants of Rehoboam. You see, Rehoboam, now you hear this, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was also the grandson of Jeroboam. They were intermarried. And both had the same grandparents. And they introduced idolatrous worship. And it brought about a downfall in both religions, and they got so vile. The Bible says that they sanctified priests. Let me show you here. I'll find it in a minute. If you just give me just a minute. Anyway, let me hasten on. I'm having trouble finding what I'm looking for. The old prophet spoke against it. And 1 Kings 23 and 7. When Joash, or Josiah, come to the throne, the Bible says, when they took this book and started reading it, he said, a boy king is going to come to the throne at the age of 8. And said he's going to destroy idolatry. And he said, "Is that me?" He said, "Yeah." "How old is this book?" He said, "Well, it's about 330 years old. He said, it's been around, it's been hid behind the altar a long time." He said, "Well, if that's what the prophet of the Lord said I was going to do, let me rise up. My first order as a boy king is, let's destroy idolatry. If we're going to do it, let's do it." And so they started. And the Bible says, and he break down the house of the Sodomites. Now we're talking about 332 years later. And the Bible says, and their houses lean to the house of God. All around the house of God was these lean-tos. All the way around. They were attached to the house of God, the house of the Sodomites. And that's where they dwelt. And the Bible says, and they sold fine and multicolored garments. I said, "God, what have I got myself onto here?" I started searching. I said, "What does all this mean?" I went to a lot of books, a lot of prayer. And, after a while, I come across something in pulpit commentary, volume 5, page number 453, concerning this. I says, "God, what did all of this mean?" And it says, literally, of the consecrated ones. See the comments of 1 Kings 14:24. Note that the male prostitutes are gala, who consecrated themselves to the Dia Sira, formed the essential element of the Astar worship, and accompanied wherever they were introduced. Dollinger says, in a book called Jews and Gentiles, Volume 1, page 430 to 431, of these wretched persons, to the exciting din of drums and flutes and inspiring songs, the Gala cut themselves on their arms. Give me that strap off of there, somebody. Off of that bass guitar, that one of those guitars. We're going to get wild. We might as well get wild. Take that thing off. I want to whoop somebody. The scripture says, to the exciting din of drums and flutes and inspiring songs. Where am I at? I'll find it here. The Gala cut themselves on their arms, and the effect of this worship and the music accompanying it was so strong upon mere spectators that all their bodies and their mental powers was thrown into it, to the din and the excitement, until they started beating themselves and cutting themselves on their arms and running in the house of God. And then it says, and I know we got a mixed congregation, the Bible says, and then they would deprive themselves of their manhood with pottery that was left there for that purpose. Take that broken pottery laying around the church and deprive themselves of their manhood and take that in their hands and run through the streets of the city, and whichever house they decided, they would throw it in through the window. And the Bible says, and the husband of the house, whomever they threw this in the window, would have to bring his wife's clothes out to this man. He would then dress up in her clothes and go back to the house of God like a transvestite and go right back into the choir and start singing. Now, this was a sin of Jeroboam. The other day I was heading to a revival, and I got to a place, and I'd been in the car all day, and I pulled up, and I was fixing to check in, and the man at the desk says, "What was a bad earthquake there in California, wasn't it?" And I said, "What earthquake?" He said, "Well, there it is on the news right there." I turned, there was a television sitting there. If I sinned, I turned and I looked at that devilish thing, and I saw the devastation. And by that time, I saw our attorney general walk up. I said, "Who is she? He? It?" Here she come walking out. I said, "That's our attorney general?" I said, "Why couldn't she come out like this?" Because the same spirit that's out there is trying to take over in here. And we are promoting it through competitive worship. Someone told me recently, "You'll never succeed in Houston until you get you a good choir." I said, "You have a good choir?" I said, "Don't even have one at all." I said, "You mean you got 500 people and you don't even have a choir?" I said, "No. I used to have one."
You want me to obey God?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. I said, "You mean you got that many people you don't even have a choir?" "No. I'm teaching people how to walk. I give lessons to the men. Get you some boots on or something. Stretch it out when you walk. Get you a gait. When you walk up on our platform, walk up there like this. when you walk up on our platform, I want you to walk up there dainty. I don't want you taking 5 foot steps. We're talking about competitive worship. I told this preacher in the last century, sit down. He said, Brother Bourne, you say I got this in my church. I says, you got it and you know it and you're afraid to deal with it. I said, there's four of them sitting on your platform and you know it and I know it. And I said, now tell me you haven't dealt with it. And finally he says, well, I have, but they tell me they're not going to do that anymore. I said, the second thing about these fellows is they are passive, pathological liars. Because that is a spirit of perversion. They'll look you square in the eye and declare that they was just born that way because mama. Let me tell you, mama, something. You better let your boys be boys and your girls be girls. Just because they're a cute little boy, you're afraid to get them a haircut. You're going to do around the house somebody hanging around a church that the sons of Belial is going to get a hold to. And when the sons of Belial get a hold to them, they'll stay in the church and they won't never know that they're lost. First thing you know, they're just a little feminine. Come on, help me out, Brother Howe. You can be seated. Ezekiel 16 and 16, it says, and they were covered with dainty fabrics of many colors. Someone said, Brother Bourne, what you need is a little better wardrobe. Let me help you with your taste. I said, get lost. I said, I might wear blue jeans tomorrow night. Don't come tell me what I need. You know, this spirit of perversion is not just homosexuality. That spirit creeps in through the sons of Belial, and it don't necessarily mean you got a pervert on your hands. It means you got somebody that's trying to twist something. And it generally starts with twisted worship. I love the singing I've heard here, dear God, but I don't like Shirley Caesar. I said, I have every right to name sin. I said, I tell you what, sister. I said, you got two boys. I said, go ahead and link yourself up with those fellows that I had to set down. I said, go ahead and go to their house. Let your little 12-year-olds keep on spending the night over there. Go ahead, let them go. I said, that's what you're telling me. You go ahead and let your little 12-year-old and your little 13-year-old keep spending the night over there at that fellow's house. I said, he's already messed up many, many before. And I said, and they're going to die with AIDS. And you don't believe what I'm saying. I said, you go right ahead and your little darlings are going to die with AIDS. Or worse than that, they're going to live. Because the sons of Belial done got a hold of them. You folks better hear me because God told me to preach this today. I'm trying to warn some people. You say, Brother Bourne, you have said too much. I have said no more than I've said to everybody in charge. You say, well, Brother Bourne, you're going to be in big trouble. No worse than I'm already in. Because I got a whole stack of registered letters right now. I'm not afraid of them. Sin is sin. And I'm going to keep on preaching against it. I said, I'm going to keep on preaching against it. Because I don't want Brother Howard's church to get infected with this mess. Because we get competitive worship. So-and-so over here got them a good choir leader. He's just a little bit sissy, you know. But you can put up with a little of that because they are so good. But Brother Bourne, they are the best. Sit down. I like to play the piano, but I certainly ain't that way. These fellas, get over here and go.
Give me a little more monitor, please.
Let me preach. Pastor, you can become so busy and you've allowed this fellow to come in, or this lady, as the case might be. It's not just men. Because I'm dealing with both sides of the spectrum in Houston. And they come in, and you're so busy, and your son or your daughter has a talent, God-given, and you want that developed, and you're so busy running to and fro, trying to get everything together and keep it going, that you'll put your child in the care of this fella who does such a marvelous job. He can really learn under this person because they are probably the best, and these fellows, guys and ladies, they are good. And they will bring him to a place that eventually he can qualify for many churches. Hallelujah. But someone says, Brother Bourne, if you don't get you a choir leader, you're going to lose those people that loves to sing in the choir. Well, I didn't believe that, but it happened. All of a sudden, we lost some of our best singers out of our church because the fella I wouldn't get is in another church locally. And he just says, ah, I'll put you in a lead part. You are so good. Brother Bourne just don't recognize quality singers. I know how to honor people. And I will make something out of you. So we lost some very good people. But we prayed through some old roughnecks off the street. Some of the ladies we prayed through, they didn't come in as the most desirable person in the world. Some ladies prayed through in my church, and they come to me and said, Brother Bourne, would you pray that we'd get a job? I said, well, sure. What kind of work did you do? Oh, I'd rather not say, Brother Bourne. I just need a job. I said, well, have you ever worked in a public job? Still a wrong question. They got tattoos on the back of their hand and on their fingers. But God has delivered them, and they're in the prayer room praying.
And I don't want to introduce them back to that world inside the church. They come out of that world. Generations of this junk went on until one day Josiah says, I'm going to tear down the house of the Sodomites that lean against the house of God. And he went in and he went in to view the worship that was going on in the house of the Lord. And we got in there. It was nothing more than a bunch of Gala Astor worshipers who were nothing more, the Bible says, than male prostitutes who prostituted themselves before men. In Mississippi, we just call them queers. If that's too strong for you, you ought to live in Mississippi a while. Bunch of perverts. And while they may never touch your boy, and while they may never commit themselves to that sin that they're a part of, and they may never do it at your church, that spirit that's emanating from them. The first thing you know, you're confused about the doctrine. And then you're confused about holiness. And you're confused about water baptism. And after a while, you got a lot of questions. Brother Bourne, I know this is what we've always believed, but he said, all of a sudden, I got these questions. Do we really have to live like that? Is holiness really important? I know Jesus' name is important, but don't you think Trinitarians have a right? Like, Brother Bourne, aren't they having revival down at the First Church of the Refrigerator too? Are you God to condemn them to say that they don't have salvation as well as you?
Have mercy.
Man walked up to me the other day. He said, Brother Bourne, you got problems. I said, do I? He said, yeah. He said, you have inferiority complex. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you have problems meeting people. I said, you're right there. I do have problems meeting people. I'm an introvert. I don't like to talk. Can't prove that right now, but I'm not trying to prove it. He said, let me ask you a question. And I said, okay. He says, do you think you're God? I said, I don't think. Have I act like I was God? He said, well, you said that people weren't saved that didn't talk in tongues and get the Holy Ghost and baptize in Jesus' name and believe in the oneness of the God. I said, that's right. He says, that's wrong. He says, are you God? Answer my question. To decide who is saved and who's not saved? I said, I'm God's representative. And that's what the book says. We got them in Houston that used to preach it the same way I preach it. But now they're saying, if you want to be baptized in the titles or in the name of Jesus or both, we'll do it either or both. If you think you have to have the name of Jesus, we'll just say, in the name of Jesus. But if you like the titles, we'll baptize you in the titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, which is the name of Jesus. Or we'll just baptize you in the name of water. Now, we don't want to offend anybody. I'm talking about those who used to be a part of us. And I'm going to tell you what happened. A perverted spirit, even though it might not have been in the flesh, it perverted the spirit of those churches. And the first thing you know, the sons were perverted. And they begin to talk to their dads, and the dads become perverted. And the first thing you know, they begin to question whether or not this is really what we believe or not. And their spirits were perverted. And they said, well, it can't all be wrong. And then they start this business of, well, don't be so hard on them. You know, people make mistakes. Sure, they make mistakes. But there's some things that God's just not going to put up with. Why? I might get knocked out of the saddle for this next thing I'm going to say. I had this one man come to me the other day. He was crying. He said, Brother Bourne, I failed. I committed adultery. I said, congratulations.
I said, at least it's turning.
Did y'all not hear what I said? I said, congratulations.
And then I said, sit down, son. I said, there's hope for you. I said, if a person's going to fall, there's a right way to fall. I like the way Brother Tenney put it. He said, if y'all hear I run off with a woman, y'all pray for me. If y'all hear I run off with a man, it's a lie.
Dear God, have mercy. I set that man down and I talked with him. And we got him on his face repenting before God, and I was able to salvage him. But you see, he wasn't a liar. He made a mistake. He admitted his mistake. But you deal with those perverts and they'll lie to you until you drop dead. They'll tell you there's nothing going on when it's going on right before your eyes. And it's hard to catch those kind of creeps. One that was in our church, an ordained United Pentecostal minister, he was arrested by the vice squad on... can't name of the street now. Montrose. Sound like you've been there. Montrose. He said, you can't arrest me. I'm a United Pentecostal preacher. So God gave me a message. I didn't know that the man had been arrested. He made one phone call and all charges was dropped and all computer evidence was destroyed and there was nothing against him. It was over. One phone call. To another United Pentecostal preacher who has the ropes. So God gave me a message, and I got up and I preached on perversion of the Word, the Spirit, and the flesh. And I barreled down on it for about 3.5 hours one Sunday. Finished up about 2:30, and this lady walked up to me. She said, Brother Bourne, she said, does my husband need to hear that tape? I said, take it to him and tell him I said listen to it. Well, that's what I'd have told anybody would ask me that crazy question. I didn't know her husband was a pervert. He's a United Pentecostal preacher. So she took it home. Said, Brother Bourne said for you to listen to this. So he was out delivering kids from Sunday school on his bus ride. He stuck the tape in and he listened. So he calls me up and he says, Brother Bourne, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. I said, come by the church tomorrow. So he come by the church and I said, what's the problem? He says, you know everything, don't you? And I said, yeah, I do. And then I thought, what do I know? I said, you might as well come clean with it. He said, oh Lord. And he started, and for 4 hours he went through this junk. I said, name him. He gave me 28 names. I got sick. I got nauseated. I had to go to the bathroom, and I didn't have to stick my finger down my throat to puke. If that offends you, I'm sorry.
I got so sick at my stomach, I held against the wall, and I just said, "Ah!" Because the sons of Belial was there. You see, that was 4 years ago. I attacked it 3 years ago, but I was 1 year too late. And to be honest with you, it makes me mad. And when I get mad, my hand starts drawing like this. And I feel it drawing. Makes me just want to walk up and just pot somebody right now. And I get to feeling like this, it don't even matter who it is. Well, it ain't him for sure. I'm telling you, folks, you better wake up. And you can go in denial and say it's not in your community. It might not be perversion of the flesh yet, but there is a spirit of perversion that has attacked us, and it is attacked in our music, and it is called competitive worship. And this is not something I heard on a tape, because I don't listen to many tapes. I did listen to one the other day called Earthquake. And I felt like I was in one. This dear little lady in our church, beautiful woman, beautiful woman. She come to me and she said, "Brother Warren, I don't know what I'm going to do. My life is destroyed and ruined." And so she called someone that had dealt in this kind of thing before, and they flew into Houston to sit down and talk with her, because they had dealt with it. I didn't know how to handle it. I mean, when you deal with 28 cases, you hadn't got enough experience yet. So they brought someone in who could deal with it. And this is what this lady told her. "You've got to decide whether you want a husband or an artist." Did you hear him? "You've got to decide whether you want a husband or an artist." A husband comes in the house. You got to decide whether you want a husband or an artist. And she said, "Husbands are tacky, sloppy, messy, who will increase your workload." But said, "An artist, you don't have to worry about all that stuff, because it's just in their blood to do it right." She said, "I want a husband. I don't mind picking up after him. I just want a husband. I don't want an artist." And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not looking for an artist in the pulpit. Got enough artists out there. You say you upset? Yeah, and it's late, and you are too. My God, have mercy.
When I see all this junk going on, and I travel all over the place, and I go to these churches, and dear God, have mercy. Sometimes I look at what's going on, and I just want to take out my whip. I love that message, brother. Dear God. Sit down just a minute. Somebody got my clock, so I don't know what time it is. So don't. Someone told me the other day, said, Brother Bourne, your point's been well made. When I finish, I want you to know what I said. And I don't want there to be any doubt in your mind as to what I'm saying. And I don't want you to doubt whether or not that I'm saying that this, hey, it's happening. It's in our ranks. It's destroying your kids. It's destroying our kids. It's destroying our churches. Dear God, give me someone with a 6-string guitar with 2 broke strings on it, and let them get up there and thump on that thing a little bit, and don't even know G chord, but sing under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and move sinners. But some of this junk, we that are professional worshipers can't even shout to it. Unless you can shout like MC Hammer. Or Ice-T.
You want me to rap a little bit? Sit down.
I got,
brother, you told me to preach, so I am. I told someone yesterday, I said, I'm going to take my time. And what time you got, brother? Dear Jesus, if your kid was being molested, Brother John, you live in a wicked city. If that young man, handsome young man, if some queer comes centering into your church and start getting real heavy on your son, you have to be, you know, you're trying to win them. You're trying to help them. So you give them full reign. They don't have anywhere to stay, so they can stay at your house and sleep with your boy. They said they'd behave, so you got to believe them. And they tell you, well, I did make some mistakes, but if you just let me keep on playing my music, I promise you I won't mess up anybody. And they're so good, you have to let them. Because, man, they carry them. When you walk to the pulpit, it's so high that all you got to do is say, boo, and they start jumping. That ain't the way I come up under it. Don't even have to preach. Just let them go. They'll get Shirley Caesar's song that ain't got but 3 words in it. Sing it 98,000 times. And it might not amount to, you ain't nothing. 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 You ain't never been nothing. You ain't nothing. And the first thing you know, everybody's saying, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. And after a while, something gets a hold to them. And you start seeing them do repulsive things. And their body starts gyrating to a vulgar beat. I've stood and watched it. I've watched people come under the spell of that, and all of a sudden they started going through things that I had to go over and take my kids out of the service because I didn't even want them to see that was going on. And someone says, boy, they're really into it. Yeah.
They're just about to cut their arms. And they're fixing to deprive themselves of their manhood. And they're going to run through the streets. And the next thing you know, they'll be dressed drag. What's that feller's always mad? Eddie Charles? I'm mad too.
And I tell you what, I ain't going to handle one of these little flimsy things like this. I'm going to get me a cat of nine tails.
Young men the other day come sit on the second pew. Oh, let me back up. I was out in the North X, they call it. I don't know where North X, the dictionary says the North X is a small cubicle that the Catholic confessor sins in. Ours is called a North X. But I was out in the North X. And this fellow said, "Hello, Brother Bourne. You the pastor?" And I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "It's good to have you tonight." I asked him who he was. And I turned around to walk off and heard him say, "Hi." I whirled back around. And I said, "This fellow's got a dual nature." I said, "To me, he is hello." But when someone else walked up that he knew, he said, "Hi." I turned around and I said, "Listen, buddy, you talk one way around here." He comes sit on the second pew. And I got up there to preach. I said, "The first wrong move you make, I can't make you not come to this church, but the first wrong you make, I'm going to take you by the nap of the neck and see the bridges, and I'm going to throw you out of this church. Do you hear me?"
"Yes, sir."
You know, the sad thing is, you can't see perversion of the spirit. You can see perversion of the flesh by the way they act. But perversion of the spirit starts making this little tunnels under your church. First thing you know, you start stepping in holes and you wonder, well, where'd that come from? You walk a little bit, all of a sudden you feel your foot go down in something. What is this? Something's tunneling in under your church. And that spirit. First thing you know, someone said, "Brother Bourne, don't be so hard on those who don't have the Holy Ghost. They got salvation. They just haven't got the full knowledge of the truth yet. They're coming on. Just give them time. Hey, when you come to our church, it's a Holy Ghost or hell." Someone told me that they said, "Well, we're going to have this new program going. We're going to start." And I said, wait. "Well, you're not starting no programs unless I know about it." He said, "Well, we done got it started." I said, "Well, what's your program?" "Well, we're... I know this will get back. Let her rip. Well, we've put this ad in the green sheet. In that section of there where it says, young male, 150 pounds, looking for a single white male who loves similar ideals, Christian thoughts and principles, and loves to dance and smoke. Six-foot-two male, looking for black female, needing companionship and a good time." I know this is 57 pages of this in the green sheet. And these fellows, without my privilege or without my approval, went and put an ad in the middle of that and says, "You want to talk to somebody, call my number. 24 hours a day." And I said, "We've got enough perverts hanging around here now without putting that kind of junk in the middle of that perverted paper." They said, "Well, we're not going to tell them that we're from Irvington." I said, "For God's sakes, don't you dare ever tell them you're from Irvington. what we're going to do, we're going to work with them for a couple of years and really get them wrapped around us. And then we'll start slowly introducing them to, would you like to know more about salvation? I said, when they come in here, I don't want them to think they're coming into the Southern Baptist Convention. And I don't want them to think that they're in Assemblies of God. And this is not the Church of God of Prophecy. This is not a bunch of Camelites. We're apostolics over here. But you can't tell it everywhere you go. Ah, Jesus, have mercy. Now, and for 14 kings, one of them lasted 54 years, one lasted 52 years, three lasted 40 years, three lasted 32 years, one lasted 28 years, one lasted 14 years, two lasted 3 years, two lasted 3 months. And all 14 of them, it was said, they did right which was in the sight of God. However, he did evil in the sight of God. Nevertheless, he destroyed not the sin of Jeroboam. And the sin of Jeroboam, and I'm going to read it and close, was this statement that I made a little bit ago. I found it in the book, in the pulpit commentary. Literally, of the consecrated ones, the note on male prostitutes or gala, who consecrated themselves to the Dia Syra, S-Y-R-A, formed the essential element of Astar worship, accompanied wherever it was introduced. Dillinger, the author of the book Jews and Gentiles, Volume 1, page 430 and 431, of these wretched persons to the exciting din of drums and flutes and inspiring songs, the gala cut themselves on their arms, and the effect of this act and the music accompanied was so strong upon mere spectators that all their body and mental powers were thrown into the tumult of excitement, that they too, seized by the desire to lacerate themselves, deprive themselves of their manhood by means of potsherd lying ready for the purpose, whereon they ran with a mutilated part through the city and received from the house from which they threw them into a woman's gear, not chastity, but barrenness was attended by the mutilation. In this, the gala only desired to be like their goddess, the relation of foul lust, which they henceforth occupied towards women, was regarded as a holy thing and was tolerated by the husbands and their wives. And it may be gathered from Ezekiel 16 and 16 that these coverings of dainty fabrics and of many colors introduced into our apostolic worship, it's here.